Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Normally at this time is when you would hear Howie looking. I've said it, but it's not the same as when Bill says it. So how's everybody doing along the network? Kevin Holden, CBS 58 in Milwaukee, stepping in for Bill for the day. Here's the thing, and this is, it blows my mind, but it's really funny. Bill can't even take a day off when he takes a day off. He is the hardest working man I have ever seen. Even when he's off, he's not off. Today, I'm in for him for the show all day today, so we appreciate you listening in along the network. But tonight at 5, and then for some of you along the network, it's at 6. So just kind of check in with that either at 5 or at 6. It's the Lodge Kohler kickoff from Leaps and Bounds Cafe at Lodge Kohler. And guess who's there? That's Bill Michaels, along with former Packers linebacker George Kuntz. And just, to me, it's funny, you know. Bill said, "Okay, I need a day. I gotta take a day." And I'm thinking, "Oh, Bill, that's smart. You know he's gonna be working a million hours Sunday, probably setting up stuff on Saturday, so he's trying to take Friday." Nope, he's only taking this show off. So his idea of an off day is a power nap, it sounds like. I appreciate it because I get a chance to step in here and have a little fun with you guys. Okay, so we have Packers and Raiders on Sunday. We are very excited, by the way, at my day job, not to shamelessly self-promote, but we are carrying that game Sunday, CBS 58 in Milwaukee, and your CBS stations all throughout the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network have this Packers game. CBS doesn't get a lot of Packers football. Normally it's AFC teams, and in this case, because it is an AFC team at Lambeau Field, we get a chance to have that game. So very excited about that. We also have a post-game show. This is not going to be all, 58 promotions, but there is a post-game show coming up on CBS 58 afterwards. So we are pumped. We know you guys are pumped, mostly because the Packers are 5-1. 5-1. 6 games in and they are 5-1. They're in a position right now that they haven't been in a little while. And the more I watch this team, especially this last win, the one that just happened Monday night against the Lions, the more I see it, the more there's a little bit of the recent past that is starting to sort of come back into focus. If you're a Packers fan, my guess is you look at recent Packers history this way. String of successes, and yes, there were playoff losses and so on and so forth, but there were some terrific things that happened in regular seasons for several years in a row for the Packers. And it was one of two ways. You had seasons like the year that they were 4-6, and then they ran the table and made it to the NFC Championship game. Then you had other seasons, I think 2015 is the one I'm thinking of, where they started the year, they went into the bye undefeated. They beat the Chargers and went into the bye undefeated. So you've had these successes in the regular season, and then you've had, mixed success with the McCarthy era in the playoffs. That was one era. Now you have the last 2 years, which have been very difficult on Packers fans. The two seasons before this one, 2017 and 2018, where you had coach and quarterback on different pages, where you had that as the center topic of conversation and not what's happening on the field, but rather what's happening between your coach and your quarterback. The small, subtle signals back and forth between them. And just a total breakdown. And the defense, has had this breakdown coming for a while, right? The whole fire capers movement went on for years. And the defense issues, defensive issues, were masked by the fact that Aaron Rodgers was Houdini. You know, he could get you out of situations. So where I'm going with that is this. I watched that Lions game, and I watched Rodgers hit Alan Lazard, and the first thought that comes to my mind is Jeff Janis. And not just the player, but a specific situation. Playoff game. Arizona, early in calendar year 2016. Packers have the ball, running out of time in regulation, and every receiver with any kind of experience at all is hurt. Randall Cobb fell on, if I'm remembering this right, Randall Cobb fell on like a microphone. He was wearing a wireless microphone and fell on it and injured himself, like his spleen or something like that. And he was gone. And Jordy was gone. Everybody was gone. And Aaron Rodgers had to step out there on the field with a bunch of dudes that you're just like, well, this is not going to end well at all. And how it ended, that particular drive at least, was that deep ball as regulation time expired to Janis. And he makes the catch. Jeff Janis. In a playoff game to send it to overtime, Aaron Rodgers was able to rescue this thing and send a playoff game to overtime with a receiver with almost no experience whatsoever and certainly not experience in a situation like that. Now, we all love Jeff Janis.
Janis!
Yeah, that's it. Joe has a whole, you have a whole thing, don't you?
Janis!
Oh, that was actually Janis saying Janis.
Janis!
Yeah, there's Janis everywhere.
Jeff Janis!
Janis, that's one of my favorite ones. But this, the joke of that is that he's Jeff Janis. He's a dude from a small college in Michigan that had, I mean, what had he done in terms of big football games, like truly big football games, before this? He hadn't. And he's catching this ball in the end zone to send the game to overtime. Now, I am harping on this one moment. When you recall Packers-Cardinals in the playoffs that year, what do you remember? I'll bet your number one memory isn't Jeff Janis. I'll bet the first two words out of your mouth are not Jeff Janis. I'll bet the first two words out of your mouth are Larry Fitzgerald. Because when they got to overtime, Larry Fitzgerald ran around the field like something out of Benny Hill. You could have put chase music to Larry Fitzgerald running all over the field, all over the Packers defense in overtime. Taking me back to my original point. I'm looking at that recent history a little differently right now. When I see Rodgers find Alan Lazard with Davante Adams gone, with Geronimo Allison gone, with your other options from previous years now off the table, and Rodgers is making it happen with Alan Lazard, I think of what happened with Janis. In other words, Rodgers is doing in 2019 what Rodgers did in the playoffs in 2016. But here's the difference. This defense, right now in this moment, is not letting Larry Fitzgerald run around on a field for 10 minutes at a time. Just a thought, just from seeing them play. I also think this defense would play well enough that Rodgers might not have to do what he did in Arizona to force overtime. Coming back to recent history, if I were to say to you that the Packers could give you in 2019, if I came to you in August and I said, in Matt LaFleur's first year as a Packers head coach, they can give you what they had in that 2015-2016 season, but with a better defense, you know you jump all over that, without a question. You've got Aaron Rodgers doing those magical things that he's done. You've got a better defense, a defense that will sometimes take games over, I guess, is a little bit of an extreme to say, but there are moments where they're making plays and they're taking pressure off of the quarterback. Rodgers can have a performance with no touchdowns and no interceptions, and it's fine because the defense can occasionally play to that level. I think if I'd said to you back in August, you could have that team, 2015's offense, where Rodgers makes it happen with the receivers that he has, and a better defense, and you'd jump all over that. And that, to me, is the excitement of 5-1. The excitement of the first six games of the year has a little less to do with who you beat and what the situations are. And I understand the Packers have a tiebreak edge on everybody else in the NFC North. Obviously meaningful, especially when we get to December, we're going to remember those three wins. But what stands out to me is 2019 Rodgers is doing what 2015 Rodgers did. Cutting out that little two-year span of Packers history that was so painful to deal with. No playoff appearances, back-to-back years for a team that had made the playoffs for what felt like 100 years in a row before that. That's the thing that excites me. There's a defense that goes with this Aaron Rodgers thing. So, and I know the focus is on LaFleur and on the relationship and on whatever else, but honestly, what it goes back to is that defensive unit, right? Back then it was fire capers. Now it's everybody talking about the Smiths. Now it's everybody talking about Blake Martin. You love the Smiths, Joe.
Will we ever get to a point, and we probably will at some point, maybe it's 10 years from now, but they'll be fire petting.
Of course.
You know, that will happen at some point. Hopefully it doesn't happen for a long, long time. Hopefully Mike Pettine is this defensive mastermind for years to come. I mean, it helps when you're able to put veteran players into his system and it actually works. I mean, that's just great. But, Kevin, there will be a point someday, and it's just sad to say, where everyone's going to be saying fire Pettine.
Well, so here's what happens. Two of your veteran players get hurt. You have another guy that's a sieve on one side.
Right.
You know, you're running into some trouble in the secondary, and then all of a sudden it becomes the coach's fault. And this is not a defense of Dom Capers, but Dom Capers had a lot of success in the NFL. He really did. He was a head coach of the Texans when they started their franchise. Like, I can't just call Dom Capers a failure as a coach. That's not true. It's not true. But yeah, you're 100% right that at some point that'll happen. It happened to him as a head coach very rapidly, which is, I think, why Mike Pettine does not want to be a head coach, because fire Pettine happens almost instantly.
But you know what, though? It was also smart, very smart, when all this discussion about who should the Packers' new head coach be, should it be an offensive-minded guy like McCarthy was, or should they try to do something completely different and actually bring in a defensive-minded coach, which means then you're going to bump Mike Pettine. To me, from the beginning, that never made any sense. Mike Pettine was just beginning the culture of what that defense was all about, and those guys, those players were enjoying it, those players were beginning to figure it out, and they were starting to make an impact as that season went along last year, despite how bad it was. The defense was learning a lot, and they were learning a lot about themselves. So bringing in a guy like Matt LaFleur, who is very new to this, you don't want him necessarily thinking about defense all the time. You want him to figure out the offensive side of the football, worry about a quarterback with Aaron Rodgers, and let Mike Pettine, who has a huge track record of being able to get this done, let him do it. And that relationship between LaFleur and Pettine so far, it's looked great.
Yeah, and that's
looked great.
And again, my part of this whole opening rant of mine is 2019 is 2015 with a defense.
Yeah.
And that's great news. Aaron Rodgers in 2015 making things happen with Jeff Janis. Aaron Rodgers in 2019 making things happen with Alan Lazard and Ryan Grant, right? Like, that's your NFC championship contending team. Looks like that. They play good defense, and your quarterback makes things happen even when his best receivers are out. That is exciting, and that's why it's more than just the Packers are 5-1. They're 5-1, and the identity they have is something I like. It's something I can identify with. We'll see what the Raiders do against the Packers here Sunday at Lambeau Field. Want to know your thoughts on the biggest key to a Packers win on Sunday against Oakland? Give us a call, 855-830-8648 on the Milwaukee Admirals hashtag MilHockey talk line. We will talk more Packers and Raiders next on the Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Cousins Subs. They want you to experience the ultimate Bucky Bash at Camp Randall. The Badgers are going to close out the football season on November 23rd, and one lucky fan is going to win a couple of tickets to the Wisconsin-Purdue game, two passes to an exclusive tailgate party, a customized Badger football jersey, and Cousins Subs for a year. How about that? Enter daily now through November 17th. That's November 17th by completing the entry form and submitting it. For official rules and to enter, go to CousinsSubs.com/Badgers. That's Cousins Subs, where they believe in better. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. And they are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
know, Paulie is a disciple and coaching acquaintance of Mike Zimmer. So there's some of the stuff that that they did in Cincinnati over the years with some double mug pressures that they can do. You know, they will adjust their scheme. You know, they will do some of that that Cincinnati Minnesota stuff, and then they will, you know, come with some designer looks every single week.
Aaron Rodgers on the red. I don't know. Can I do that? Like, will Chris Berman come out of some rock somewhere and try to sue me if I do that?
Should I knock just to be with you on that?
Yeah, do it. So Oakland visits Green Bay on Sunday, and Aaron Rodgers and the Packers look to go to 6-1 on the season. What a fun start to 2019 for the Packers. Getting it done on a lot of different fronts. What is your biggest key to a Packers win Sunday against Oakland? Call us 855-830-8648. That's the Milwaukee Admirals hashtag Admirals50 talk line. So for me, there is one very big key, and it rests on, I was going to say the shoulders, but actually no, it's resting on the lower body of Kenny Clark. And the fact that he did not practice Thursday, the fact that there's you know, some concern here about what Kenny is going to be able to do, if anything, in this game Sunday against the Raiders. Because if there's been a weakness, and that's such a relative term defensively, a, quote, weakness, because we went through a couple of years where the secondary was being gassed by everybody. It was being gassed by Mariota and Cousins back-to-back weeks, and it's just like you're just making your head hurt, right? That doesn't happen so much anymore. But they do get gassed a bit by the run. There's been some concern about this defense's ability up front to stop the run. And Kenny Clark will be a big part of trying to contain Josh Jacobs on Sunday. So that to me is probably the biggest key. Especially if Kenny is out, can you find the bodies to contain the run? Can you find the bodies to make sure the Raiders don't end up taking this game over by clock management? Because if there's been a way to stop Aaron Rodgers, it's to take away the number of minutes that he has the ball, just to keep the ball out of his hands, right? And not a lot of teams can do it effectively because Rodgers can make things happen in a short span of time. He doesn't need all the time in the world to work his magic, but just by nature, if you cut down the amount of time he has the ball by a significant amount, you cut down the number of big plays that he can make. So that's why I think the run on the Raiders' side is so important in this game, and it's important to stop because you don't want to be the one that's having the clock controlled on you. You want to be the one controlling the clock. And this is another thing that we've overlooked, by the way. Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones, starting to gel, starting to come together with this idea, this vision of what Matt LaFleur is trying to do with the Packers' offense, running the ball effectively. And that, by the way, when was the last time we were talking about that? Truly, truly talking about that. I mean, there was, you know, since we're going back to recent history, let me jump back again. Eddie Lacy gets drafted, and the thought is, well, now here's somebody who can legitimately control the clock. And then early in his career, that existed, and then that ended very rapidly, right? And then after that, there was almost not even lip service paid to the running back position. There was a little time there where it's like, yeah, I know we got some dudes on the roster that play running back. Yeah, whatever. But it's Aaron Rodgers throwing it, you know, 90 times if he has to. And now I feel like you can come back and do this the other way. There's a truer balance to it. And it's not, I don't think it's so much that you're getting somehow more talent out of Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. I think you're just using them differently, using them more effectively, and you are committing to using them. And that makes the defense stay honest. That's a significant thing. I mean, you can't act like you're going to run the ball and then never run it and then expect the defense to stay honest. But if you plan to run the ball and you can do it at least quasi-effectively, then you make them pay attention to that. That's another part of the game that they can pay attention to, and that only helps with Aaron Rodgers and the passing offense of the Green Bay Packers. Okay, so 855-830-8648 on the Milwaukee Admirals. Hashtag Admirals50 talk line. Tell us about your biggest key to a Packers win on Sunday against Oakland. I think it's fascinating to me, the history between these two teams. regular season we're talking about here, and how before 1990, the Packers did not win a game against the Raiders. Now, I know there was a Super Bowl, so I'm not counting that Super Bowl. But the Raiders had won every regular season matchup against the Packers before 1990, every one of them. And since 1990, the Packers have won every regular season matchup against the Raiders. There is that moment in the history of both franchises where it went completely one way to completely the other way. And honestly, it kind of goes with the fortunes of the two franchises. If you think Raiders, you think of the success of John Madden. I have to watch myself to not say Joe Madden there. We've been dealing with Joe Madden so much that it's like buried in my head. So I'm glad I didn't say it. The Madden era Raiders and, you know, the Al Davis and the other team's quarterback must go down and must go down hard, all that stuff. That was 60s, 70s, maybe into the 80s as well, during a downtime for the Packers franchise. But again, starting in 1990, it completely flipped. And that goes with the rise of Brett Favre and then Aaron Rodgers after that. So it's when you talk about the matchup between these two teams historically, you are talking about the history of both franchises, how the Raiders were once historic and the Packers, I think, are still historic despite the last few years. They are one of those top-end elite franchises in the NFL, and they have been for a quarter century. And so the Raiders have not gotten a single win against the Packers in that time frame, not since the 80s in the regular season. And I think it's going to be really difficult for them to do the same thing on Sunday. You're starting to get to the time of year where it's more difficult for teams to play at Lambeau Field, right? The mystique, as we talk about it, the record that this team has at home in October and November and then into December. And this is one thing that I'm always curious if it transcends head coaches. Because a big chunk of the mystique was talented Mike McCarthy teams doing what they had to do at home in chilly conditions and winning games. It's, we say mystique, and it's not really a mystique. You could pull the curtain back very easily on it. The better team won in a vast majority of those cases. They were better. They were at home, took care of business. And I am curious to see now with the new era having entered in Green Bay here with Matt LaFleur, if the same thing happens, if there is simply this, we will call it mystique, like that's the term that will be used eventually if it happens enough. But what is there is if Matt LaFleur can just bring better guys to the table and use them better and win games with them at home as the weather starts to turn cold. If that continues, I think that would be fun because that was a fun narrative, right? We used to sit here for years talking about, in 2012, 2013, 2014, talking about the mystique, the idea of if a team like the Tennessee Titans came to town on a random November day, Packers are almost assuredly going to win that game. Just it was an impossible thing to do. You know about the Buccaneers and their inability to win in cold conditions for the longest time. They had not won with a temperature under 32 or whatever the stat was. But then there were games, the Titans game is the one that comes to mind. This is when Jeff Fisher was finishing his time in Tennessee. And I don't remember the exact score, but I know the Packers broke 50. And I don't think the Titans broke 10. I mean, it was one of those things where you could tell a team was rolling over. Like they were done. They're ready to be done with the season. And then a few years later, Packers got into that position last year.
Do you realize that the Oakland Raiders have not played in Oakland since September 15th?
Seriously?
Seriously. Last time they played was against Kansas City at the Coliseum, and then after that, they were in Minnesota, in Indianapolis, in London, wow, which would have been a home game.
Yeah,
here at Lambeau, and then they go to Houston next week.
Goodness gracious, dude!
And then they're back home.
So, and you know the story about. I mean, this isn't the first time that we've dealt with this with the Raiders this year, right? Remember the preseason, Winnipeg? Remember that whole thing?
Yes.
So, and you know what was the base of that whole thing, right? You know that what started that entire disaster, that entire debacle in Winnipeg, is that the Raiders knew that if they didn't play that preseason game at home, they could cut their rent by $500,000 for the year. That's what it was. They were saving $500,000 in rent and created this debacle out of it. Like, for you and me, $500,000 is a lot of money. For an NFL team, it's not too much. Not much at all. So I think it's funny that's why I laugh when you said they haven't played at home since September 15th, because there's probably somebody in that Raiders front office that's like, oh, can we save some money? Can we save some rent money? We take that to Vegas with us? It's got to be a tough year if you're the Raiders, just because of the Vegas thing and the fact that, I mean, you're lame duck. You know you're out soon, and fan base has got to be difficult. This is a city that's going to lose its team and that sort of thing. So Sunday, noon, Packers, Raiders. We will get back to that on the other side of the break. We'll also hear from Davante Adams here on The Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of the program brought to you by good friends at Quick Trip. Get in there for the opening drive contest. Use your Quick Rewards card and you could be eligible to get a game package, a couple of tickets, even win yourself some cash on the opening drive. All you got to do is go to Quick Trip, check it out for yourself, get your Quick Rewards card, or just download the app on any mobile device you may have. That is from our friends at Quick Trip.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The Bill Michaels Show, Kevin Holden from CBS 58 in Milwaukee. Thanks for listening in. Thanks for letting me step in here, Joe. So this is always a blast, man. And it does not matter the time of year. I think that's the thing that's amazing about sports talk in the state of Wisconsin. It's Packers season, so of course we're going to have fun. But I'm in here with you any of the 12 months a year, and there's always something or a couple of things that are at the forefront of the conversation.
Well, this show writes itself today.
And yeah. Packers, Raiders.
You saw my note last night. I'm like, yeah, this is going to be easy for you. We got a ton of guests coming up too.
Yeah, that's right. I've got to that list here because we're having some fun. Paul Emig a little later in the show. Eric Baranchik. You got a guy from NBC Sports Bay Area coming on next hour.
Yeah, do you know him? He's a TV guy.
That name sounds really familiar.
Jim Cosmore. I think that's how you pronounce his last name.
Cosmore. Okay. The Cos.
Yeah.
That is a name that I remember. You know, it's like one of those fringe names. Like, oh yeah, I think I probably met him at some point.
TV brethren.
Clemens is going to be joining us as well.
Of course.
The professor.
Yes. We'll have NFL betting lines with Chris Raybon later. So
that's awesome, dude.
Stay tuned.
Going to have some fun with it. Davante Adams, of course, still dealing with his turf toe injury. And look, I would imagine that all of us have progressed past the point where we go, well, it's just a toe injury. Just go out there and play. But by the way, I don't know why I go Southern when I do the mock voice like that, but I do every time. Turf toe is tough. That's a tough thing to deal with. And in this case, it's keeping an elite wide receiver out of the mix for the Packers for some very key stretches of the season, you know, a point where they're trying to establish here. Getting to 5-1 has been great, but they've managed to do it the last few weeks with a lot of those big receivers out. Adams, you know, Geronimo Allison got knocked out of the game, MVS. It's kind of amazing. Davante talked about other guys stepping up with the big guys out.
Well, I mean, it's always next man up mentality. So, I mean, it's not going to change now. I mean, we obviously, having us three down right now is, you know, it's tough and it's putting the team in a tough situation. But, I mean, it's next man up. We got other guys that are extremely capable. So they just got to, you know, rise to the occasion.
And it's easier to do when you talk about next man up when you have Aaron Rodgers who can throw the ball to Alan Lazard the way he threw the ball to Alan Lazard. And he's lobbying for Alan Lazard to play. I mean, that's I don't want that lost at all, right? If Aaron Rodgers is saying, you got to get out there and play, like this is a guy that needs to be out there on the field. That's a significant development. For you as a receiver, that is something that's going to help you tremendously. Now, Rodgers and the team have done this the last few weeks with Davante out. They are 5-1. That's got to make you feel good. There's no pushing downward. If they were 3-3, for example, and they would have to have this Raiders game, then I think there would be extra pressure on Davante Adams. The question to him here is, being 5-1, maybe ease up that pressure to make a quick comeback?
Obviously, it takes pressure off me, but at the same time, it's not much pressure because, like I told you, I'm coming back when I'm healed and when I'm ready to go. So, you know, and whenever that is, I'm not quite sure yet still, but, you know, I'm getting better every day.
And every day is a long process. Again, that turf toe injury is a very difficult thing to deal with because it'll affect how you run. And it will do so for an extended period of time. There's no quick fix. There's no quick healing process, that sort of thing. It will affect you for multiple weeks. Does not matter who you are. This injury happened September 26th. We're pushing mid-October, and it's still an issue for him. How does that turf toe feel now?
A million times better. I'm able to do, you know, I have a lot more movement in it, more range of motion. So, you know, that's the type of stuff that I need, and is, you know, it's a good sign for me to get back.
And the other half of that, too, is when you have any sort of injury, there is a process of rehabilitation. There's a process of strengthening. There's a process of testing and knowing when you're able to come back. So can he test something like turf toe?
Well, the only way to know that it's ready is by testing. So, I mean, I have to get out and obviously simulate some stuff for the coaches and for the training staff to let them know I'm ready to go. But we're getting there.
So can you imagine the steps? If he's running a route or something, he's testing it out. Can you imagine the number of eyes paying attention to him in that moment? Can you imagine the number of people just, you know, okay, Devontae, start your route. And everybody holds their breath. And he gets through 10 steps and everybody goes, ooh. I mean, that's how I would feel. Because Devontae is a meaningful player to this team. Clearly your top option as a receiver for a team that was shallow enough at receiver that you just went and signed receiver Ryan Grant, not to be confused with running back Ryan Grant, and added him to the roster. Adams is in a frustrating position. He's been hurt. He can't help them on the field. The only way that he can help them is to basically give advice and pump up his teammates.
That's really it, just being kind of an extra coach a little bit right now and reminding people, you know, it's a lot of young guys out there right now, so, you know, mistakes will be made and just basically trying to help them out. You know, get their mind right because I've been in that same position where, you know, didn't have, there's going to be plays all the time that you wish you can have back. So just reminding them that and keeping them motivated and keeping them, you know, obviously keep that same mentality that we start off the season with.
And there is some value to that. There is some depth to the idea of if you're a young receiver, if you're Alan Lazard, you are paying attention to Devontae Adams. You will learn from him. You'll learn a lot of little things that he's picked up along the way. So he can pass along knowledge. He can help his teammates. But they have to be able to do this on the field, right? And this is where coach and quarterback become your two most important guys on the team. Aaron Rodgers does what he does sometimes with fourth or fifth options in the offense. But it also takes a commitment from your coach. And Adams talked about Matt LaFleur making the adjustments with the big receivers out.
We've always kind of prided ourselves since we started this thing in OTAs of being, our aim was to be the most versatile group, you know, be able to have Sadie's in there running the same routes that, you know, Jimmy's running and maybe Gmo's running inside. So just to be able to have those kind of depth, I guess, within different positions, to gain an advantage in that way.
So now the question becomes timetable. Because the Packers have done what they've had to do in the interim, but there is no question the Packers with Devontae Adams are a better football team. The Packers with a healthy Devontae Adams and all the other parts that they have right now are an NFC title contender. The question is, can Adams make it back for some of these big games that are coming up soon?
I don't know, man. I honestly can't tell you right now. Whenever this week is not out of question. Next week's not out of question. The week after that, I don't know. It's going to be day-to-day. That was an interesting way of asking that question to try to do that. But, I'm on that level with you. So, we'll see.
Yeah, and he's trying, obviously, to make it back for these games that are coming up. Remember that you have Kansas City next week. You've got that much-anticipated matchup, Joe. Aaron Rodgers and Matt Moore. Wait, what? Aaron Rodgers and Matt Moore? What? Patrick Mahomes is hurt, Joe. Patrick Mahomes is hurt. I'm never going to celebrate another team's injury. That is not what this is. But Matt Moore, Joe, Matt Moore.
I'm not going to lie. I am a little bummed. I wanted to see Rodgers versus Mahomes.
Yeah, me too.
I know it helps the Packers, yeah. But you kind of want to see the young against the old, you know?
It's good for the league.
It's great for the league.
Yeah, it is.
In primetime on Sunday Night Football?
Oh, man. Yeah.
I'm a little bummed.
Yeah, no, and 1,000%. I mean, it is going to significantly jump the Packers' chances of winning a road game in Kansas City, what I thought was going to be their toughest test, maybe all regular season. Because it's the first, and I said this to Bill yesterday, remember when I called in, it's the first truly elite team they're facing. We thought the Bears had a chance. They're not. We thought the Vikings had a chance. No. The Lions, no. They've faced some decent teams, but they haven't faced that team. And now they're not going to face that team this time because Patrick Mahomes is probably out. He has an MRI scheduled for today. They will know the extent of the damage, but to hear the reports of what that knee was like on the field, he ain't playing next week. Just going to set you up right there. We'll talk a little more Patrick Mahomes on the other side of the break, the Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Neumel Medical, treating guys with ED all over the state of Wisconsin and beyond the borders. They have a 98% success rate, all but guaranteeing the fact that they can fix you, help you with your problem. And if you're feeling moody or sluggish or run down, no stamina, no energy, they can help you out there as well. Just stop in and get your numbers checked for low T. Takes about 10-15 minutes, and they can help you out almost right then and there, right on the spot, at least set you up with a program. And if you're looking down right now and you're thinking, man, I need to lose a few pounds or jumpstart the new health and wellness system, that's the way to do it. Go to Neumel Medical. Call the medical experts over at Neumel Medical Center, 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. It's all happening at Pottawatomie. Visit paysbig.com. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers added more names to the injury list. Receiver Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who injured his knee against the Lions, did not practice. He joins Geronimo Allison out with a concussion. Devontae Adams still dealing with the turf toe.
You know, having us three down right now is tough, and it's putting the team in a tough situation. But, I mean, it's next man up. We got other guys that are extremely capable, so they just got to, you know, rise to the occasion.
On defense, Kenny Clark and Tremont Williams didn't practice. And linebacker Za'Darius Smith says that Matt LaFleur has asked them to cool it when it comes to quarterback sack celebrations on third down.
Coach don't want me to do celebrations anymore.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I had one
for this week. It was going to be nice too, but Coach, he felt like situations during that time, punt team or they want to go for fourth down, and I'm taking up too much time. So if you guys get a chance to interview him, talk to him, get up to Roger Cadell, see if we could get some celebration time.
In Oakland, Raiders head coach John Gruden was asked, how different does the Packers' offense look under Matt LaFleur?
Yeah, they're doing a lot of different things with the structure of their plays, but Rodgers is still working the snap count. You see him beat Denver with the hard count. His magnificent scrambling, creating offense is uncommon. It's just unbearable to watch. I hate watching this guy. He's fun to watch, but he's really not fun to watch when you got to play against him.
That's Raiders head coach John Gruden. In Green Bay, I'm Mike Clemens on the Bill Michaels Show.
One of the most dynamic athletes in all of sports is injured on this 4th-and-1 carry, and it was the right knee. In a lot of pain. And it's like they almost popped that right knee back in place. And he's actually walking now without any assistance.
Do you have any regrets about calling the sneak? You know, it can be dangerous.
With no, I mean, very, not too many people get hurt on a sneak. And so it's a freak thing. And, you know, it happens. So you know, I was proud of our guys stepping up. And, you know, they didn't let down, which can you've seen that over the years. You've seen teams that let themselves down after one of your best players or the best player gets hurt, in particular the quarterback. And I was proud that our guys just stepped up and kept battling and really everybody up their game, I thought.
Andy Reid talking about Patrick Mahomes, who dislocated a kneecap. Too many kneecaps getting messed up in the sports world the last few months.
I thought Andy Reid would have been a little bit more sympathetic after what happened last night, to risk Patrick Mahomes to a quarterback sneak when he's already playing on a pretty bad ankle.
So there's an interesting mix here, right? the percentage chance of success of the play versus what could happen to your quarterback in this situation.
Right, who's not 100%. Like, why would you risk him?
I mean, it is a high percentage conversion. It is. But you're talking about a fourth and one, and now you're talking about a minimum of 3 weeks probably here for Patrick Mahomes. It could be worse. There's an injury expert on Twitter. There's a guy that weighs in. He's a doctor out in California that weighs in on all these injuries.
Dr. David Shaw. We had him on last week, actually.
You know him. You know him. Mm-hmm. He believes that what will probably happen is similar to what happened to Matthew Stafford early in his career. This same thing happened. He missed 3 weeks, came back, finished a year, had off-season surgery. Here's the difference. Matthew Stafford ain't running all over the place the way Patrick Mahomes is. This is going to affect Mahomes even if he comes back in 3 weeks. He's not the same guy. So it's significant, and it's extremely significant if you're the Green Bay Packers. You just caught a break.
He's got a fullback on that roster. Why couldn't he use the fullback last night?
Oh, don't start me on fullbacks.
Can't even use their own fullback on short down and distances.
Which drives me nuts. I'm wearing the jersey of a fullback right now.
Michael, stop, baby.
Because that's the mentality. This is my subtle way of saying I would like to see them use Danny Vitale in that situation.
Thank you.
Because,
I mean, come on.
I mean, how do you not love Danny Vitale? How do you not use him some?
Being in training camp and seeing them use Vitale on, like, every single set that they would run, and all the passes he was catching, and all the plays they're giving him the football, fullback, 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 and they don't use him.
I want to see it happen, Joe. And I'm going to do everything I can subtly to make it happen. Hey, a lot more Packers here. Stick around all day long on the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Oh, oh, oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.